It's the SFL Nights with. It's the SFL Nights with. With AJ Stryker. With AJ Stryker. It's the SFL Nights with. It's the SFL Nights with. With AJ Stryker. With AJ Stryker.
Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, 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 I got the feeling, baby, baby, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, I'm around and down, a level with the ground, baby, I said level with the ground,
about the action. SFL news, come and join with interaction. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah, you will leave with satisfaction. Yeah, tell your team and tell your captain. Come and tune in, new episodes weekly. You can tune in from your room in afternoons, and when the moon hits, it's unique. It's the SFL Nights with. It's the SFL Nights with. With AJ Stryker, with AJ Stryker.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to SFL Nights with AJ Stryker. Thank you so much for joining me today, tonight, or whenever you decided to hit that play button or turn on that radio dial. Really appreciate it, y'all. Back from a vacation that was sorely needed. I didn't even know that I needed it until I actually left, man. Feeling really good, although I did spend most of it sick, had COVID and the flu, but hey, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I'm back, all right? So on tonight's show, we're doing week three review. I kind of missed a couple weeks too, so y'all forgive me, but we got week three game review and final thoughts from my co-host, Mr. T-Roy Gaines. He is the GM and fullback from the Baltimore Vultures. Of course, y'all already know him. What's up, T-Roy?
Not much. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Good to see you. It's been a while.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, it has. Last time we saw you was, what show was that? 100?
Mm-hmm. 200. Just, exactly. Been, what, 3 weeks or so? It's almost mm-hmm. 3 weeks. Gotcha.
Good,
and I got some new stuff.
Better.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, T-Roy had to surprise everybody. You know, if I was going to be off, I had to kind of plan, you know, just to see how I wanted to spice up everything, you know, besides a little background I got. I'm trying to work out here. I'm also going to be doing Stryker Nights Trivia, and I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. We're also going to be doing our picks for week four and my fourth and goal interviews with my co-host, T-Roy. I'm also going to have Bo Martin Jr. and Chad Rowland. So it's going to be a really good show. Now, as I said before, this is going to be a little bit new. Some of the questions that I'm going to be asking during the interviews is going to be a little different. I'm actually doing a hot seat take for my interviewees, you know, some of them anyway, especially if they're seasoned veteran players like T-Roy Gaines, him, or, you know, himself. You know, I think they'll be able to, they can handle a hot seat. Right, T-Roy?
Who they?
Oh, man. On to week. Oh, that's right, guys. So, I'm a Bengals fan here. You know, so happy to be joining the championship game. I'm sure you're going to let everybody know. Go ahead.
Yeah, last time they were in the Super Bowl, I was 6 years old. So, yes, I'm going to enjoy it. I'll be 40 this year. So, yeah, you see all that gray? Yeah.
Long overdue. Long overdue. Right? Better than the
yes. Falcons. About time.
Right?
Try not to cuss.
All
right. I have to represent this. The Vultures jersey still there, so TJ, don't get mad. It's still there.
You know
right
it.
There. But I got to represent the Bengals after what they did in the playoffs up to this point.
I'm sure he'll understand. I'm sure he'll understand.
All well, he's right. a Ravens fan, so I'm not for sure.
Oh, maybe. He probably be mad, actually. I know I am. But on to week 3 results. So 26 teams played 12 games and 12 winners were had in these games. Some were called, some were not. Some were very surprising. So here is how everything went down. On the 29th, the Denver Nightwings took on the Sioux Falls Sparrows, and Denver won 39-36. Denver had 373 yards passing, 160 yards rushing for 533 yards total. Their time of possession was 23 minutes and 19 seconds with 2 mistakes. Sioux Falls had 372 yards passing, 72 yards rushing for 444 yards total. Their time of possession was 24 minutes and 8 seconds with 2 mistakes. Now, normally I do the player of the game around this point, but I decided to do something different. I'm going to do like a little MVP, little shout out at the end of this, so you'll see. Also on the 29th, the DC Dragons took on the Lone Star Glory at Medal of Honor Field, and DC won 52-41. Very high scoring game here. DC had 234 yards passing, 286 yards rushing for 520 yards total. Their time of possession was 19 minutes and 43 seconds with 2 mistakes. Lone Star had 413 yards passing, 108 yards rushing for 521 yards total. Time of possession was 24 minutes and 8 seconds with 1 mistake. The Vancouver Legion took on the Jacksonville Kings, where Vancouver was the victor, 28-14 in King's Lair. Vancouver had 274 yards passing, 107 yards rushing for 381 yards total. Their time of possession was 25 minutes, 14 seconds with 2 mistakes. Jacksonville had 234 yards passing, 75 yards rushing, 309 yards total. Their time of possession was 18 minutes, 31 seconds with 8 turnovers. I had to actually look at that again, with that 8 turnovers. T-Roy's Baltimore Vultures took on the Fort Worth Toros in the Stockyards. And of course, they came out victorious 44-10. They had 398 yards. Baltimore had 398 yards passing, but only 49 yards rushing, 447 yards total. Time of possession was 22 minutes, 36 seconds with no mistakes. Fort Worth had 158 yards passing, 115 yards rushing for 273 yards total. Time of possession was 20 minutes, 55 seconds with 1 mistake. The London Knights took on the Mexico City Aztecs in Estadio Azteca, where Mexico City won 31-23. London had 360 yards passing, with 36 yards rushing for 396 yards total. Their time possession was 15 minutes, 36 seconds, with 2 mistakes. Mexico City had 306 yards passing, 142 yards rushing, with 448 yards total. Time of possession was 27 minutes, 21 seconds, with no mistakes. Also on the 29th, the Tulsa Desperados took on the Louisiana Revolution at Stack 'Em Up Stadium, and Tulsa won 27-13. Tulsa had 274 yards passing, 123 yards rushing for 97 yards total. Their time of possession was 20 minutes, 29 seconds with 4 turnovers, while Louisiana had 271 yards passing, 135 yards rushing for 406 yards total. Their time of possession was 22 minutes, 58 seconds with 5 turnovers. The Queen City Corsairs took on the Houston Hyenas in Hyena Den Park on January the 30th, where Houston came out on top, 47-34. Queen City had 345 yards passing, but only 77 yards rushing for 422 yards total. Their time of possession was 21 minutes, 12 seconds with 4 mistakes. Houston had 289 yards passing, 151 whopping yards rushing for 440 yards total. Their time of possession was 22 minutes, 48 seconds with 2 mistakes. While the St. Louis Gladiators traveled to the Hive to take on the Atlanta Swarm, the St. Louis Gladiators won 27-13. St. Louis had 234 yards passing, 127 yards rushing for 361 yards total. Their time of possession was 26 minutes, 59 seconds with only one mistake. Atlanta had 180 yards passing, 71 yards rushing for 251 yards total. The time of possession was 16 minutes, 39 seconds with only one mistake. The Charleston Predators traveled to the shipyard of the Portland Fleet and came out victorious, 23-20. Charleston had 205 yards passing, 40 yards rushing for 245 yards total. Their time possession was 22 minutes, 39 seconds with only one mistake, whereas the Portland Fleet had 223 yards passing, 91 yards rushing, 314 yards total. Their time possession was 21 minutes, 21 seconds with four turnovers. Last few games were the Carolina Skyhawks taking on the Florida Storm in the Eye, where Florida won 35-12. Carolina had 220 yards passing, 58 yards rushing for 278 yards total. Time of possession was 20 minutes, 28 seconds with four turnovers. Florida had 226 yards passing, only 76 yards rushing though, 302 yards total. Their time of possession was 23 minutes, 22 seconds with one mistake. The San Diego Mavericks took on the Los Angeles Lightning at Full Moon Coliseum, and San Diego came out on top, 28-17. San Diego had 347 yards passing, 130 yards rushing, 477 yards total. Their time of possession was 20 minutes, 36 seconds with four turnovers, where Los Angeles had 293 yards passing, 90 yards rushing, 383 yards total. Their time possession was 23 minutes, 24 seconds with four mistakes. And last game of the evening on the 30th was the Las Vegas Fury taking on the Arizona Scorpions, where Scorpions lost. No. Las Vegas Fury won 27-26 in a very, very tight game at Fatality Field. Las Vegas had 214 yards passing, 97 yards rushing for 311 yards total. Time of possession was 21 minutes, 2 seconds with one mistake. Meanwhile, Arizona had 334 yards passing, only 64 yards rushing, 398 yards total. Time of possession was 22 minutes, 58 seconds with three interceptions. So, you know, great games that happened overall. Before I let T-Roy do his synopsis, great games overall. I can tell that the league is getting even more competitive with each week that passes by. A lot of the content creators, as most may know, got together and put how these records would turn out at the end of the year, you know, given their takes right before the season started on who would win different weeks. I bet you it's a lot of brackets that's messed up right now for these first 3 weeks. So
I'm sure one of your guests is going to give you a hard time.
You know it already. And here are the MVPs for each of those games.
And the most valuable players of the game are as follows. DC Dragons running back Kevin Say had a fantastic game with 24 carries, 290 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, and 98 long. Quarterback Matt Wilson for the Mexico City Aztecs had 28 completions out of 32 attempts, 4 touchdowns, and 148.1 quarterback rating. Vancouver's strong safety Drew Hamilton had 4 interceptions, 10 tackles, 1 forced fumble, and 1 pass deflection. Quarterback Jack Wigmore over in Baltimore had 27 completions out of 39 attempts, 398 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 127.9. Denver's wide receiver Logan Keel had 8 receptions, 236 yards, 2 touchdowns, and averaged 29.5 yards per catch. The Florida Storm's quarterback Ron Cochran had 26 completions out of 31 attempts, 218 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 114.8. Charleston's Predators quarterback T.D. Drew had 25 completions out of 31 attempts for 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 102.3. Tulsa Desperados wide receiver Gabrielle Manning, 3 receptions for 104 yards, 2 touchdowns, 34.7 yards per catch. While San Diego's Mavericks wide receiver Liam Hammer had 8 receptions for 153 yards, 2 touchdowns, and averaged 19 yards per carry. The Las Vegas Furies halfback Scott Johnson had a great game with 29 attempts, 97 yards, 1 touchdown, and 19 reception yards, while the St. Louis Gladiators halfback Cairo Martinez had a fantastic game with 32 attempts, 121 yards, 48 reception yards, and 1 reception touchdown. And lastly, the Houston Hyenas halfback Brad Jones had 22 attempts, 154 yards, 1 touchdown, 49 reception yards, and 2 reception touchdowns. Amazing job. Amazing job to all of you. And good luck next week.
All right, so T-Roy, tell me, what did you think about week 3? And some games that stood out to you.
There were some very close games. I know there was some controversy with the last one you mentioned about how that ended. And I know, I guess, just some work has to be done to get that rectified. That's like the second week in a row where the AI just stopped and did not show any... Yeah, no, I'm saying this is like I was so like heartbroken both times it happened with your team and then Fort Worth, the team that we played this week, that happened to them last week. So hopefully, you know, things will get rectified and we don't see that again. But on the Carolina Florida game, I think that Carolina game would have been potentially a lot closer if they didn't lose 3 of their star players on offense, which basically just put their hands behind their backs on offense, basically. We'll see, that'd be Hattori Hanzo, Heath McDaniel Jr., and Logan Jack. All three were injured during that game. That just basically put it into their chances in terms of doing a great offense. But shout out to Florida for taking advantage of the situation, only giving out one turnover during that game from Ron Cochran. One game, like the Houston Queen City game, it seemed like that was the coming out party of Brad Jones. He had a huge game. We already mentioned 154 yards rushing. He had 3 total TDs. He was a beast. A pick 6 also helped out at the end of the first half to help Houston get into a huge lead, and basically a lead that Queen City couldn't overcome. You never see AJ Caswell have a game like he did, especially in the first half of 4 interceptions. That's what shocked me. I know Queen C will rectify that in time for their next game, but that was the shocking thing, seeing Queen City just fall behind an 8-ball like that during the first half. And I think what started that downturn was that interception they had in when Houston was marching down the field. Their safety picked it off. I think he was worried that he was in bounds when he was picking out as he was going into the end zone, so he felt like he had to return that. Sometimes the refs will be like, yeah, you need to return. Sometimes it's like, no, it was a touchback. So it was a rock and a hard place for that secondary for Queen City, and I think they couldn't recover from that, and then the domino effect just kept on going. Houston just unleashed. Shout out to another London Mexico City game. That was a close one. Pickler only had 2 interceptions. He threw for 360 yards with 2 TDs. And Ben Calia had 215 yards passing. You figure with a 2 interception game, you should win those games more likely than not. It's just that the Hall of Famer that was on the opposite side of the field had 0 interception. He was on point. Matt Wilson, who will be my team's opponent in 2 weeks. We're off this week coming up. He threw for 306 yards, 4 TDs, 0 interceptions, and they finally threw it to the tight end, Mike Daggs. 3 receiving TDs. I know he had to be smiling from ear to ear. in that game.
Indeed.
I want to give shout outs to like three running backs that had great games. Two of them were in the same game, Denver and Sioux Falls. Bailey O'Shaughnessy, 154 yards rushing, one touchdown. Logan Keel went off, but he's a wide receiver. He had a great game too. Mm-hmm. GP Wells, he had 34 touches, 196 total yards. So he averaged 5.8 yards a touch. He had one rushing touchdown. Sioux Falls was using him a lot, and most of those yards he got was out of the backfield as a receiver. Mm. He had a great game. Just unfortunately, what hurt them was their lack of third down conversions converted for Sioux Falls. They only converted 54%, while Denver converted 66%. That helps, you know, big time in terms of getting the win, especially in overtime. That game went to overtime. I think that was the best one out of the bunch. And finally, Kevin Say. He might be the next BDG Hollywood. Mm-hmm. If I want to compare him to the NFL running back, this will go back, not this current generation, but generations past. He'd probably be the next Barry Sanders, in my opinion. Yeah, 24 carries, just 2 yards away from 300 yards rushing, 298 to be exact. Three rushing touchdowns. One of those things was a 98-yard touchdown run. That's my slow ass had a 90-yard run during my rookie year against Carolina, and I got caught from behind. Homeboy here, Kevin Say, went 98 yards and scored. That is impressive. And he looked like he was running out of gas, but he had more than enough gas to take that to the house. Shout out to Kevin Say. I think he might be one of the next upcoming stars in the running back position in this league. And that's my synopsis.
Hey, good synopsis. And as a matter of fact, I think somebody else may share your same sentiments a little bit later too. The player Jenkins. I know, right? But good stuff.
They scored like 40 something points. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They scored 41 points. He probably gonna have nightmares of Kevin Say. The same way he had nightmares with one of my teammates that he mentioned back in the day. That's how good Kevin Say was that game. I was like, oh my God. I had similar games like that, but not in such a manner like Kevin Say with 98 yards rushing. My word.
Definitely impressive.
Yes, it was.
So if he keeps that up, he's definitely going to be probably offensive player of the year, but we'll see.
He can be.
Definitely. So we are moving on to Striker Knights trivia. So these questions are, let me explain it. Striker Knights question trivia is basically going to be a couple questions that I asked during my podcast. The first person that comments the right answer, either in the live chat or either in post chat, if you comment the right answer, I'll have a special surprise for you at the end of the season that I'll be sending to you, okay? And of course, I'm keeping up with everybody.
I said that means I can't say a thing right now.
No,
that won't be
you
fair.
You might not even know this, though. Actually, you may not know this. So
that might be true, but I'm saying if I somehow know, I got to keep my mouth shut. That wouldn't be fair. That would not be fair.
It wouldn't. So first question is, which team holds the current record for the longest drive for season 17 and season 18? And who is the runner-up? It's one question, but it's two parts. Because just you, if you know, this is a very interesting question. And then question two, Cam mentioned in chat during Twitch, on one of the Twitch games, one of them, that there are 522 players in the league currently, and that we will have a large draft class this coming season for season 19. How many rookies did he say that may participate in this class? Now, he actually did put the number in chat, so it'll be interesting to see if anybody was paying attention to that or not. Remember, if you get those questions right, I will be contacting you and let you know that you brought your prize, and I will be announcing the winner on next week's show. All right? What do you think about that, T-Ray?
It's interesting questions. I think I may know one of the answers, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
I think I know one of the answers.
This would be interesting to see who knows.
Yeah.
All right. On to week four action. So, on February the 5th, the 4th Ward Toros will be taking on the Queen City Corsairs at Compro Field. Now, if I remember correctly on what I chose when we did the content creators chart, I think I chose Queen City. So I'm trying to stick true to what I said, even though it might be wrong. I'm still going to go ahead and stick to what I said. So I believe I chose Queen City to win this game. But what about you? What are your thoughts? So we can do this kind of quick. This is at 2:30 p.m. Eastern.
If I'm going to make this quick, I think 4th Ward's going to shock it.
Ooh,
I don't go with 4th Ward.
Okay.
It should be close, though. It's not going to be a blowout, but I think it'll be a close win.
Okay. Sounds good. Also on the 5th, the Vancouver Legion will be taking on the Charleston Predators at Fort Moultrie Memorial Stadium. So Charleston's home stadium. I'm thinking that Vancouver is actually going to go and win this.
Man, I know Carolina's on the come up, too. Not Carolina. They are on the Carolina's on the come up. I'm talking about Charleston, excuse me. This is hard. Especially everybody stepping up their game. I think Vancouver pulls it out. It should be a close one.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Then the Florida Storm will be taking on the Los Angeles Lightning at 4:45 p.m. Eastern. Actually, Vancouver's and Charleston's game will be at 3:05 p.m. Eastern on the 5th. Florida's will be 4:45 p.m. Eastern against the Los Angeles Lightning at Full Moon Coliseum. It's going to be a good game. So they can get it together. I think they stand a chance, but I'm going to go with Florida on this one.
Ooh. Yeah, this is hard. This is not easy this year, is it?
Yeah.
I think they need to find a way to be more balanced on offense for LA to win. Otherwise, Florida should take it. You don't want Richardson to – you don't want to be one-dimensional, period. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who you are. I know some teams may get lucky being one-dimensional in the past, but I'm saying if you can be balanced and commit few mistakes, you win. I'm going to go with LA on this one. Thinking that besides they have home field, they're going to get Johnson involved more.
Okay. Good stuff. The Mexico City Aztecs will be taking on the DC Dragons at Lord Destro Production Stadium at 5:15 p.m.
That's going to be fun.
I think
that's a rematch.
It is. I think this time I'm going to go with DC. The way they put up that 51 points this past week, I think they're getting it. I think that Destro is starting to, you know, get these playbooks together. I'm going to go with DC.
Yeah, he is a championship owner. So is Ramos himself.
True.
It's going to be, I think they, oh man, DC has a lot of weapons. This would be the first of two games back to back that Mexico City will be in Maryland because they face us 2 weeks from now. I'm going with DC because of how explosive their offense is with Say. They're going to have to somehow contain Kevin Say, they meaning Mexico City.
I'm going to say it on the side of my Kusa, okay? I'm sorry. I know it was bad.
You don't have to apologize.
On the 6th, the Portland Fleet will be taking on the Carolina Skyhawks at David A. Richardson Memorial Stadium, 7 p.m. Eastern. Another great game. As you said before, Carolina is doing a whole lot better. You got one of the most explosive players over there with Ezekiel Love over there at Portland. I guess it just depends on whose defense comes up to play. I think that I'm going to give the nod to Carolina, though. I think they're going to get those pieces together that they need to win this game particularly.
Yeah, I think Carolina's defense will force Portland to heavily rely on the running game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something about Portland's running game that seems to be a little bit worrisome or concerns me, and not in a good way, like last year when they were on fire with their running game. So if Portland's offense can make those passing plays, those big passing plays, I think they'll have a chance to get the win on the road. But I think Carolina especially would be really angry after losing their star players in that game against Florida. I think they'll bounce back and get the win on this one.
Gotcha. Good stuff. The Denver Nightwings will be taking on the Tulsa Desperados at Greenwood District Stadium at 7:20 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a great game, but I think I'm going to give the nod, even though Tulsa did just win. I think I'm still going to give that slight edge to Denver, though. I think it's got a few more pieces to work out on Tulsa on defense. If they can figure things out on defense, I think that they'll be better off. So I'm just going to give the nod to Denver.
I think this will be a battle of the quarterbacks and the running backs from both teams. And I think both teams' respective backs will have to have a big game. And I think I want to give the nod to Denver, knowing that I think JQ, they got to, this is going to be hard, but Tulsa has to prevent JQ from throwing those interceptions, because I know Denver can capitalize off of other teams' mistakes.
Yes, they can.
And I think that's what helped them get that OT win, by the way, was a turnover near in overtime. So I'm going to say Denver solely because I'm a little worried about Tulsa giving up the ball. So I picked Denver.
Okay, gotcha. Sioux Falls Sparrows taking on the Las Vegas Fury, Silver State Stadium, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a great game. I think this is going to be Sioux Falls' coming out game. I think they're actually going to win this game probably by anywhere from 7 to 10 points. But what say you?
I will agree with you and go with Sioux Falls on that one.
Okay.
No lead it out, it's the exact same reason.
Last game is Louisiana Revolution taking on the Arizona Scorpions at Vitality Field at 9:20 Eastern time. Of course, I'm going to go with Arizona. What do you say?
Who y'all face again?
Louisiana.
At home. Is that your place? I think you guys are going to win that one. I think y'all the more balanced team of the two. I think if they can find a way, they, me and Louisiana, get Squarebush and Hart involved at the same time, like I thought their plan was, which is the reason why they drafted Squarebush. I think that could help them out big time. But right now, I think you guys have the more balanced team at this moment. So I'm going with Arizona.
All right. We're going to see how our picks shake up. And now on to my fourth and goal interviews. All right, so T-Roy, before, you know, we get into all this good stuff now, I kind of want to start my interview off with you. Now, so far, Baltimore is undefeated. How does that feel, especially being the champions last year?
It's again, what we always try to do is focus on one game at a time. It's good that we are currently undefeated, but, you know, this is the tough league. It's tough to get wins in this league, so only thing we're focusing on is, and I think a lot of teams have echoed this sentiment, one game at a time. One game at a time. Looking to be 1-0 each and every week. We're off this week, so we get to prep and relax and get ready for a team that's going to get once revenge against us from the semifinals of last season against Mexico City. So we got to get ready for them. So that's only thing we're focusing on. It's good that we are 3-0. That helps. But only thing we're looking forward to is being 1-0 at the end of each week.
I mean, but look at what you're doing, though. You had 2 40 burger games, one of a London and one of a forward. And the only low scoring points that you had was 27 points on over Houston. So you guys are definitely doing what you need to do to remain where you are. So it's crazy.
That's credit to the coaching staff. That's, you know, be willing to adapt and be able to game plan and put us in the best position possible to hopefully get that win.
Indeed. Now, tell me, the overall vibe of the locker room, is it humble at this moment? Is it braggadocious? Is it a combination of the two? What's going on in there?
Hungry. And focused. Okay. Hungry and focused. We don't settle. We can't settle. We do that. That's when we're going to start catching nails. So we are hungry and focused. I still want to win. I know everybody else in that locker room wants to win. I had to stop short because I'm not trying to set myself up for a jinx there. I almost did that. But we're still hungry. We want to win every week. We do not like hearing the end of the game's theme song on a loss. I definitely hate that. So we are very hungry. We're not going to settle. We're humble. We're focused. We're ready to get ready for a tough opponent each and every week.
Okay, got it. Love it. What are your thoughts on the newest SFL show, SFL Crunch Time?
Nice. It's well needed. I think it's the closest thing to the Sports Center that we have. You know, we did have other podcasts like yours that has done the same thing, but with not as much visual flair as Crunch Time is now adding on. I think that's very impressive. Mm-hmm. Well needed. Everybody that's involved in that is on point. And I think that's just another addition to the league that's going to help this league go to the next level, and that I think everybody wants. Right now it's still a small level, but it's keep getting bigger each and every year with surprises like that. So we just waiting on that SFL video game. That's all I know. I know we'll make it when we get that SFL video game so I can play as the Vultures every week.
Indeed. Now tell me, what is your thoughts on the at everyone ping in Discord? Is that annoying to you when you have a whole bunch of people pinging things to let you know that they have content out of things like that, or does it matter to you?
Actually, the at everyone I feel like is a help for me or a benefit for me. I don't find it annoying because I'm busy as heck. I'm not gonna lie, it's like besides doing the GM stuff here and the pressing stuff, all the other stuff, IRL is a very busy time right now for me in working in the service industry as a front desk clerk at a hotel. So having something that will constantly remind me, like, hey, there's some content that's going on, that helps because I can just go in and start tuning in, make sure I watch and support the content that is given thanks to those ads. So I don't mind the pings at all. None of those pings seem to be annoying, like some people might put pings and it'll be a gif that's annoying as heck that I don't want to see, which hasn't happened. It may happen now that since I said it, but I do love it. Exactly. It'll be a jinx. I just said it, but I do love, I don't care about the ping being, it's not a nuisance, it actually helps out.
Okay.
Helps me out.
Gotcha. Got a couple of fun questions for you. So should esports be considered a sport?
Oh, that's tough. It is, but with an asterisk. Mm-hmm. And people who are involved with esports shouldn't care. But, you know, there's going to be folks who are more focused on the sport part with the physical activity and stuff, the traditional sport, that may not want to think outside the box of looking at esports. Because here's one thing about esports. As long as everyone got their crap together in esports, ain't going away. With the sports, something like, unfortunately, what happened with the pandemic can basically put an end to certain things. It's like everybody was enjoying the XFL the second go around, and it would have been great if the pandemic didn't put an end to it. And now we wait until 2023 for the third go around of the XFL, which shouldn't have ended in the first place, but the pandemic, I don't know, rightfully so or wrongfully so, calls everybody to make sure that they're on, you know, watching out for everybody in terms of health and stuff. I know some people have opinions against that. Mm-hmm. I don't. Unfortunately, I lost a friend due to COVID. So I do understand why people want have caution. I do and respect that. But when it comes to esports, especially like the SFL, even though it's a little bit different than other esports in terms of winnings and stuff like that, the SFL and other leagues like that keeps on going.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
As long as everybody stays healthy, there will always be a product every week, and nobody who's participating is getting hurt. So you don't have to worry about injuries in the SFL. No, some of the leagues actually do have injuries, and that confuses me. It's like, why well, I want to join a league on pay money?
Okay.
And then my player gets injured. And let's say he's out for multiple leagues. It's like, why well, I want to be a part of that when I have something I have no control over somebody getting hurt? And he's out for most of the season. Like, are you going to give me my money back for the time that they miss when something dials out of my control? No, they're not going to do that. That's the answer. So that's why those who are in the SFL, they need to count their blessings. But anyway, let's bring this back around to the question. Esports I think it should be considered a sport, but I know there's going to be an asterisk involved in that.
Absolutely. This is just a curious question that I have for people because I also have another one that's kind of fun. What is one sport that is considered a sport that shouldn't be?
Really? Oh, okay. Because I actually did it. Chess.
Chess?
Okay. It's a thinking man's game. I think it's more of a game than a sport, but some people think it's a sport. I can think of sports as something that is involves physical activity in some way, shape, or form. And chess is more of a mental game and you moving pieces, trying to follow the rules of the game and get the win, following the rules of the game, but doesn't involve anything physical, in my opinion. So that's one of those, it can be like the esports in terms of an asterisk involved in that. So if I have to pick one, and I do love chess, by the way, but if I had to pick one, it'd be that.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, Mr. T-Roy Games, you have entered in the hot seat. So, that means I'm going to ask you a few rapid-fire questions that you can just give me your first answers. Kind of don't want you to think about it. Kind of want you to say what the first thing that comes to your mind. But I do understand that you are a very careful person. So, we're going to see how this works out.
I'm careful because I want to be. Let's just say that.
Gotcha. All right, here we go. So, player that has shown the most improvement so far on Baltimore.
Ooh, that's a great one. Because we got some new folks, too, that's doing a great job. I'm going to say, since he's now doing a great job of tackles for loss, Nate Brown.
Okay. Name a Baltimore player that needs work.
Me. Always. Me.
Which SFL team will have a breakout season? Maybe they're not doing so hot right now, but they're actually going to wind up probably going really deep in the playoffs, surprising people.
Because I can say you guys got bad luck in the last two games. That's hard. I don't want to offend nobody either.
This is just opinions. The prerequisite is by saying, like, listen, don't take what we're saying in the heart. It's just opinions.
It's okay. I'm going to just pick, San Diego. Okay. Yeah, San Diego. They're doing great right now. I think they're going to shock some people this season. Okay. They may be the next Cincinnati Bengals. We'll see that.
Gotcha. Name a team that's going to fall short.
Oh, God. Yeah, golly. Fall short. Oh, I'm going to piss somebody off. I know I am. I got to get over it, though. I hate to say this. I have no reasoning behind it unless their offense gets better. Louisiana. I need their offense to get better. Then it definitely, I'll definitely be wrong for that, and I'll be happy to be wrong, but I think their offense has to get better. So Louisiana.
Got it. Name best one of the best receivers in the league that's not on your team.
Okay. So, woo, I was going to mention y'all. But no, I got one. DR Sim.
Okay. Best running back that's not on your team.
Kevin Say.
Best tight end that's not on your team.
I wish you use him more down in Arizona. Jay, okay. Hayden, y'all need to use him more, by the way. I'm not happy with y'all. I love y'all, but I'm not happy with y'all with that.
Well, you know who talks about brother. That. Best quarterback in the league that's not on your team.
See, I'll make you wait. The person who just asked the question. I'm serious. The person who just asked the question.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yes, you just have to talk so about think you. About yes.
it. What's she at? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Best defense overall.
You didn't specify it, so mine.
That's right. I didn't specify that.
Mine.
Which SFL team is overrated?
I don't think anybody's overrated, to be honest with you. Okay. No, I don't think anybody's overrated. I'm not going to answer that like that. Not saying that was a bad question. I'm just saying I don't think anyone's overrated.
Gotcha. Which team is underrated then?
I think going to this league with San Diego, this season with San Diego.
Okay.
I think they're going to shock people, so I'll say down.
Okay. Last question. Who will be the season 18 championship winners?
Hopefully mine.
Okay.
Hopefully mine.
Okay.
I think that's everybody's goal. If nobody doesn't say their own team, something's up. This will be the first time I'm actually going to say something. Yeah, the goal is it should be my team. I know your goal should be your team, and everybody else is going to say that. So hopefully I'm not offending anybody when I say I'm backing my own team on that one. So, yes, this team right here.
I think that is everybody's sentiments exactly. So it's all good. Thank you, T-Boy, for that. I appreciate you for answering all those questions for me, and we're going to move on to my next interview. All right, everybody, and I am back with cornerback from the Lone Star Glory, Mr. Bo Martin Jr. How are you doing today? It's been a minute.
I'm doing very well. It is another glorious evening. I couldn't be better if I tried.
Okay, I bet. Looking at your record, you're already in the process of proving some people wrong.
Hey, well, you know what? We've already met the expectations of some. According to some, we won't win another game. But then according to others, we only got one more game to win. But we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will. Sometimes you make a mistake, man. You speak too quick. Anyway. All right, man. So welcome back. I appreciate you for being here. So y'all, Lone Star is currently 2-1. Big win over Queen City, 17-35. Win over London, 31-27. But then you wound up losing to DC, 52-41. So what is the secret to the success for you guys?
Great scouts and amazing coaches, point blank. You know, it's easy for people like me to sit back and perform when you got all these people doing all the hard work behind the scenes. And people don't understand how amazing LSG is and the continuity that goes on between us as a team and the team camaraderie that we have. Win or lose, we feel that we're the best team in the SFL. We feel that we've got the best team in the SFL. Let me put it like that. And the best team doesn't always win, but that doesn't mean they're not the best team. So that's where we feel that's what we've got that makes us great is we've got the best teammates. We've got the best scouts and we've got the best coaches and the best owner.
I love it. I love the confidence. And you're supposed to feel that way. How upset were you really at the beginning of the season when you did hear everybody just seemingly going, you know, after Lone Star, you know, just some of y'all gonna win, you know, some said you was gonna win, like you said, two games only, less than five games. So how did you feel about that?
I wasn't upset at all. Disrespect is funny to me. You know, that's like it sounds cocky, but it's not meant to be, because if somebody is being disrespectful or you feel like someone is being disrespectful, and you know that you can beat them, then it's funny. It's not so much insulting, it's funny. Mm-hmm. So You know, I know our team. Nobody else knows our team. Now, how the entire SFL team of people who make shows, how they never noticed that LSG retained every single player from last year. How they never noticed that the only reason we had a draft pick was because of roster expansion. How they didn't notice that we added a punter, we added a kicker, we upgraded at fullback. How nobody noticed that is hilarious to me. But when I saw those records, when I saw what people were saying LSG was going to do, it's funny. To me, that's just more motivation. That's the way I look at it.
Right, and everybody has their opinion. I mean, the thing is, it's difficult when you
opinions are just like what? Everybody has one.
Exactly.
And they all stink.
And I get what you're saying, and I definitely understand that. You know, and I think it's just important to know that I don't think anyone should take anything that the content creators, especially when they are giving their opinions about things, to heart, to seriously. Yeah. Because again, yeah, it is the opinion of that particular person. Perhaps they overlooked something, like obviously what you're bringing up. There was a lot of things that was overlooked about Lone Star that all of us as content creators clearly missed. Now, would that have changed some of the thought processes that some of people may have? Maybe, but then some people may still feel the same way. So I think you had a really good attitude about the whole thing and just handle it. You know, you talk, but then you just be like, all right, we're just going to show you on the field. And ultimately, that's the key.
And that's exactly what it is. And I'll be honest, Ashley, you know, I can respect those content creators who make their opinions based on their educated opinions and the fact that they've studied the game and the fact that they've, you know, they've looked at the team. So like if you say we're going to go 3-10 and you've done your research, I can respect that. But don't pull a number out of the backside of your doggone, you know what, and then expect me to respect that, because I can tell you don't know what you're doing when you, not you, I'm talking about the people who do that. I can tell they don't know what they're doing when they do that, and it shows in their content. Okay. So for those people, I don't have the same respect that I do of those who you know, who actually say we're going to go 3-10 and feel they've done their research, such as yourself. I can respect you and still say I'm going to prove you wrong. For those who have not even done their research, I just laugh at them because they don't know what they're talking about.
Indeed. Gotcha. And quickly, tell me, how did the team respond to this? I know how you feel, but how did everybody else feel about it?
Listen, you know, one of the great things I love about LSG is everybody supports everybody. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that goes on in our locker room that people don't know and people won't need to know. I'm not here to share our locker room secrets, but what I will tell you, the general consensus is, let's just show them.
Indeed. Indeed. That's all you got. That's proof, man. That's all you got. Those receipts, those wins. And clearly you got some good
ones. I like receipts. I like receipts are good, you know, because receipts, when you got receipts, when you meet up with people, you show them your receipts. And then that's when you know what you're talking about, because you got the receipts to show.
Indeed. Indeed. Tell me, if you know about this, that's fine. If you don't, then that's cool. I'll ask him myself when I do talk to him. What was the inspiration? What was the inspiration for Dave Axis turning his league-wide show into maybe that's just like a team-oriented show?
That's a great question. I don't have that answer for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, he is that content creator who makes all those decisions. Mm-hmm. I'm just a panelist who gets on and expresses my opinion. What I do know is I was supportive of what he wanted to do. I would have loved to seen Axis Live continue. I also love The Road to Glory, which is my name, by the way. I did come up with the name. I don't know if he mentioned that or not, but I'm gonna just shameless plug Road to Glory. That was my idea.
Kudos.
Thank you very much. But nonetheless, I support him regardless. I don't know what so you'd have to ask him why he decided to do that.
Okay, sounds good. No worries. I just didn't know whether he had maybe made a little announcement in the team locker room or just maybe something that I missed, you know, being away for so long. But thoughts on SFL crunch time?
I will let you know once I take a look.
Oh, okay. Let me know. I ain't gonna even hold it against you. I think that it's a fresh new way to deliver SFL content that involves a whole lot of different opinions, and I'm gonna leave it at that, and then I'm gonna let you decide.
Listen, and that's no shade against anybody else, but what I will say is this: LSG is focused. We are laser focused, and that focus. And the problem is I don't really understand, but there's a lot of people who specifically want to see LSG fail. And I don't really understand the hatred towards LSG when we try our best. We're always cordial in the chats. We're always, when it's game time, we're always very nice, even in the Twitch chats, win or lose, we're gracious and lost. But there are quite a few people who would love to see us lose. A lot, and it's almost to the point of where it's personal, and I don't really understand why. So, I haven't watched the show, not because I have anything against anybody, but because we're trying to stay focused. We are a team who is focused on winning. And a lot of times what some of these other content creators say, they're first of all spewing opinion and not fact. They don't know what's going on in our locker room. If people want to say that we're not a team, like we're not focused, like there's no continuity in LSG, they're flat out wrong. But at the same token, we desire to stay focused on our common goal and let everybody else do all the talking, and we'll just let the winning speak for us.
Absolutely. And that's very important. Because ultimately, y'all all you got, you got to be able to stick out for each other. So I totally get that. Thoughts on the everyone ping, @everyoneping. So when you have all the content creators posting everything, is that annoying to you to have everybody just @everyone? Or
the weird thing is sometimes it's like a double ping, you'll get the @everyone and then you'll get another ping in the like league content. So sometimes it happens twice, if I'm remembering the channel correctly, but sometimes it happens twice in two different channels. So the @everyone, I'll just ignore it if I don't want to look at it, or either I'll just give it like a quick 5-second glance and move on about my life. So it doesn't annoy me because the only reason why I respect it is because there's not a better way to do it. But in the same token, I don't like the double pings. If you put some in content in league content and then you turn around and put something in one of the other channels, that doesn't really make sense to me. But I'm okay with it as long as it's once for that specific issue.
Okay. Noted. I think that's important. A couple questions on the fun side before I put you on the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
So should esports be considered an actual sport?
I thought about that, Ashley, because when I first started in the SFL, I didn't take it as seriously as I do now. But then I thought about it. Right. I'm a Packer fan. Right. So let's just go ahead and I'm going to say that now. So I'm a Packer fan. Right. So I thought about this and I want everybody in the SFL to think about this and then it'll tell you how real this sport could be. How many of your professional sports players do you know personally? Because if the answer is none, then they're no more real to you than the people that we play with every day. They're no more real than the characters that we see in those games. Because those characters in games are never met before, never seen before in real life. So, people talk about APF and some of the issues that it has. But I try my best to operate under the philosophy, if I've seen it in a real NFL game, then I'm okay with it happening in APF. Now, with that exact same logic, the players in APF are going to sometimes make mistakes, just like the players in the NFL sometimes make mistakes. So I don't really see why it couldn't be considered. Now, granted, it is an e-sport. But I don't see why it couldn't be considered to be a popular sport that people watch just as much as they do watch the NFL, because people watch the NFL without knowing any of those people, so why can't they watch the SFL without knowing any of us?
That is a great point. Hopefully people will pick up on that. I've been trying to figure out a way to explain that for a long time. And I think you put that beautifully, brother. Nice.
Thank you.
One more fun question. Name Uh-oh. One sport that's out there that's considered a sport that should not be. Let me tell you what I think it is, and it messes with me every time I think about it. It's curling. Like, why is professional ice sweepers out there just sweeping the ice, and this is a sport? No, that doesn't fly with me.
Yeah, curling is an interesting one. Pickleball. I struggle with pickleball.
What is pickleball?
You don't know it? See? And that's exactly... Okay, so pickleball is a professional sport. There are professional pickleball players. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's kind of like everybody gathers around a small, like, trampoline. Like, there's, like, two or three people per team. Two people on this side and two people on the other side. Or maybe it's singles. And there's one person on this side once. And so the object of the game is you handball a ball down into this trampoline, and then it bounces off, and then the other person handballs it back down. And so there's a volley back and forth, and the first team to miss loses. Kind of like tennis with the volley back and forth. But
or ping pong.
Yeah, but you're literally standing around. It looks like a kid's trampoline. It's not a big trampoline. You know those little ones you get from Walmart where one person can jump on it?
Yes.
That's what it looks like, one of those. And that's the object of the game. It's really kind of silly. I don't get it.
Okay, good one.
But it's called pickleball. Look it up.
I sure will. And hopefully I can get some pictures to add to this so people can see it. That's crazy. Okay, now you have graduated to the hot seat. This is this is kind of like a new thing that I'm doing in my interviews to kind of see how quick you are on your feet and to see what you would say. Okay.
All right. Well, let me put my serious face on.
Okay, gotcha. You are now on the hot seat. All right, player on LSG that has showed the most improvement so far.
Mickey McGuire.
Player for LSG that needs work.
Oof. Gosh, that's a tough one. I'm not really Mateo Bravado.
Okay, that's fair, rookie. Which SFL team will have a breakout season?
What do you consider breakout?
Meaning that they may not be doing so well right now, but they will find their way to the playoffs towards the end.
London.
Name an SFL team that will fall short.
Gosh. I would probably say Sioux Falls.
Okay. Best receiver
they'll do better than they did before, but I think they're still got a little bit of ways to go yet.
Okay. That's fair. Best receiver that's not on your team.
Baltimore.
Mac Chima, the truck.
Mac Chima.
I thought about you when you said that. You probably still seeing him in the dreams. I know. Best running back in the league that's not on your team.
That's not Ike McBride. Well, shoot. After Sunday, who you think I'm going to say?
Say it.
Did you see? I said it. I said say.
I like that.
After what? Listen. Okay, so let me caveat. He put a smack down on us. You know, it's for me to respect a beatdown, it must have been quite the beatdown. And I respect that beatdown. Because we were ready for him, and he still did that to us. So much respect to Kevin Say. There's a lot of great, you know, I've always expressed my love for Ezekiel and what he's done. There's a lot of great, great, you know, running backs in the league. You guys have one too. His name is escaping me right now. I apologize.
DJ
Moses. Thank you. But if I'm gonna give you one for the hot seat after the beatdown and spanking we just took, I gotta go with Kevin Say.
Very noble of you. Best tight end, not on your team.
Not on my team. That's tough because I think we got the best tight end in the game.
I know.
let's see. I would probably go. Benji Manson.
Okay. Best quarterback, not on your team.
Not on my team. That's a tough one. That's a real tough one. I would probably go to Vancouver. And again, his name is escaping me.
Tom Pepper.
Tom Pepper, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would probably go Tom Pepper.
Yeah, he definitely got a lot of accolades, I'll tell you that. Best defense overall.
Baltimore.
Most overrated SFL team.
Most overrated. That's a dangerous question, Ashley, and you know it.
It's just opinions, right?
I don't think anybody's overrated. And the reason why I say that, I know that sounds like a cop out, but the reason why I say that is because it's all opinions.
Exactly.
So to say that a team is overrated when everybody is just saying that their opinion, you can't really say that because, you know, like me, I could say that LSG is underrated. And again, that's just my opinion. So, I don't know. I mean, I could throw out a overrated. Let's see if you're gonna make me throw out a name. Who's a team that's overrated? Nope, not gonna do it.
Okay, so underrated team then.
Other than LSG?
If LSG was your answer, if you're gonna answer the underrated, and you got to answer the overrated.
Well, I already said that I could say it would be LSG, but again, that's just an opinion, and my opinion is irrelevant. So I technically don't even have to answer that. I tell you what I'll do. I can give you an opinion of an underrated team, but again, it's just an opinion.
It is. It's not a fact. This is not, guys, people, not a fact. It's clearly opinion. Okay, there we go.
All right, well, since you put that caveat on it, I'm not going to answer that one either.
Gotcha. Who will be the season 18 champions?
Listen, I am trying hard to understand why Baltimore is so good. I almost feel like DMing Cam and asking him to step in because it doesn't seem fair. And I don't know what they did or how they hacked the game to get all their players to 99 rating. But it just doesn't seem fair. I don't see a weakness. And because of that reason, I don't see a team that's going to beat them to the championship.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to let you slide on those other two questions only because this is my first time doing it. But the next time, I'm going to make you answer. You ain't going to leave until you answer, okay? But
it's going to be a long show.
I know. I was already prepared. But listen, Bo, it was great to have you on. Thank you for participating in the hot seat. And thank you for just even having time to hang out with me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, that was fun. I like that though. I will talk about a little more once we do get that third win. Cause right now, well, for you, it'll be the fourth win. So I can't say nothing until we get our fourth win. Cause you said we was gonna go 3-9. So I'm gonna be quiet about you until we get to that fourth win. But there are those, you know, who said we only were gonna win two. And so far we're at two. So I ain't gonna start. I'm not gonna say anything yet. And but just know that it's coming.
I know. I'm ready for it. Thank you, Bo. I appreciate it. Did you have any last words that you want to say before I let you go?
Thank you to everyone in the SFL who is watching this whenever you watch it. And just, you know, to the team, and I'm going to speak directly to the team that has the hatred in their heart for us. I'm not going to name their name, but there's a team in the SFL that really does not like us. And to that particular team, I would just ask that you remember that a couple of things. Number one, this is just a game. Number two, we are all humans and we are all people. And, you know, we all deserve a certain degree of respect. Number three, if you are a content creator, do your best to do your job objectively. And try not to base your opinion of not only LSG, but every other team. Try not to base your opinion on how much you love or hate the particular people on that team, and base it more solely on the facts that you have in front of you. At the end of the day, this is a wonderful opportunity that we have, and everybody should happily take advantage of it and do your best to bring it justice and not bring it down. Because this house can be destroyed if it's not taken care of. So remember that we all have to live in this house together, and let's take care of each other, and then we all gonna win one way or another. Hey, look, I'm rhyming.
I love it. You didn't even try. I love it. Thanks, Bo. Very good advice. Very good message. And I hope people listen. I'll see you soon.
All right, and welcome back to my third and final interview with Mr. Chad Rowland. He is the head coach and defensive end of the London Knights. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ashley. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. You know, it's good to be back off of vacation, and definitely needed. I didn't realize I needed it until I actually left.
Like, yeah, that's and then it sucks when you get back and you're like, crap, I needed like another week.
Exactly. So I
totally get it.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you for being here. Got us some a fresh new way to do the show, so I hope that you enjoy it. Okay. I'm just gonna have a few questions about the team and everything, but I really want to put you on the hot seat about a few things. So yeah. Kind of a quick, little quick fire question challenge kind of thing. So we'll see how you fare. But tell me, what do you think about the season so far? I mean, you lost to Baltimore 28-41, lost to Lone Star 31-27, lost to Mexico City 31-23. So, what's going on, man?
Man, I'll tell you, first off, you know, we were literally looking forward to this season. You know, we made some really good moves in the offseason. You know, bringing in like a Hall of Famer, Tiberius Bovine, Fox Highwind, you know, JT and Jack. And, you know, we had high hopes. And, you know, when I saw the schedule come out, thanks to Cam, you know, we had a really tough opening draw, right? Baltimore, Lone Star, and Mexico City. And that's not an excuse, you know, who we played and stuff. We got to come out and execute, you know, offensively and defensively. I mean, you know, I think offensively we've been really good, and then I've told the coaching staff and stuff, I think the defense just needs a little bit of work, but we have the players in place that can really be a great defense, but we just got to execute, and that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, it's a learning curve for everybody, especially when you add new team members, new bills, things like that. That's why we're kind of struggling a little bit. You know, yeah, new team members, everybody has to mesh together well and things like that, and you know, exactly. I can see things turning around for y'all, you know, probably the next
I do too. I mean, luckily right now, like, and you always hear it like in the NFL that, oh, this team hit the bye week perfectly. I think for us, we hit the bye week perfectly, right? So it gives us an opportunity to reset and really look at everything, give us an extra week to prepare for Fort Worth and start hitting that part of that schedule hard and hopefully getting a few wins out there.
All right, Chad. Gotcha. So tell me, who came up with the Knights Code and how important is that code to the team?
Yeah, so Selwyn Lane, a.k.a. Angus McLean, you know, when he came over to London in season 13, I think he, or maybe season 14, he came up with the Knights code after some sort of whatever what was going on in the locker room at that time. And, you know, and we fully embraced that, you know, like Tanner and him fully embraced it in season 15. And then when I came in, I really tried to execute that as well. You know, it's something that we want every player to live up to that standard of, you know, because we had a lot of stuff when I came in, there was a few things that were going on in the locker room and, you know, and the perception outside the league was, you know, nobody wanted to go to London, you know, and you know, they won 7 games in 3 seasons. I mean, things were just in turmoil and the Knights code really helped kind of bring that back. That was a piece of it that really helped bring back London up to where it's at now. You know, at least a respected franchise to where people like, you know, like Johnny and Jack Russell and these guys, they really wanted to come over and play here in London with us.
Hmm. That's good. And you know, it's good to have people that want to come and add to
exactly
what you're doing, you know, instead of
trying. You want to bring in people that are going to help lift the locker room, right? Like, mm-hmm. I know what the public perception of Johnny and how that rolls, but you know, he has been one of the bright spots in the locker room, you know, always lifting his teammates up and you know, and Jack and Fox Highwind and these guys are, and Perrin Ibarra, they're always lifting the teammates up. And you know, I think with what we have built right now, we have a really damn good locker room in the SFL.
Yeah, you're right about Johnny. Although Johnny did tell me he was coming on the show last season.
Yeah, you got to talk to him about that.
Yeah, we do.
I can only control so much.
Indeed.
He'll love that.
So, tell me about being on Crunch Time. How do you enjoy that? How long does it take to kind of prepare for?
I'm not going to brag to a degree, right? So, and I'm not going to take any thunder away from Cam at all, but this was sort of an idea. This was kind of an idea I had back a few seasons ago that I presented to him. Mm-hmm. And I know some other people I think have too as well, but you know, back when I was younger, I used to be in, like, for a year, I used to be in radio broadcasting in my local radio station here in Indianapolis. And, you know, used to interview coaches and stuff from my hometown and everything. And so that was always a passion of mine. I always wanted to be in broadcasting. I always wanted to be doing play-by-play type of stuff. You know, I did for baseball at a certain time, but, you know, Crunch Time is sort of different, you know, where you can be able to be a host and you know, go break down through the highlights and do like segments like we're doing, like SFL Insider with Ross Napoli and some other things. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it, you know. I actually, depending on when this airs, I can't remember. I will have already made my co-hosting debut, or I will be making my co-hosting debut this week. So it was a lot of fun, you know, working with Josh Zirkle, especially because, you know, he's been in this industry kind of for a while and knows what he's doing, and the rest of the team as well. Tyler Falk, Justin Reside, Eddie Gage, you know, everybody that's involved in this, Robert Cherry. I mean, it's been a phenomenal project so far. We still have a lot of growing to do, and we're hoping to be, you know, the top thing in the league and be able to have maybe even, you know, next level even pick something up like this to where we can have it on TV and stuff. So that'd be pretty cool. And we're really excited about it. And, you know, all we need now is just all the people to watch. That's all we need. So it's really exciting.
Got it. Hey, and I've been enjoying watching it. I enjoy the different commentary. It does kind of have like a sports center kind of feel to it. Yeah. And I think that's what I kind of.
Yeah. And that's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal, is to have that sports center type of feel, you know, and then, mm-hmm. you know, having great people like Ross and Justin and Eddie doing segments and, you know, and other people coming in. Mike St. Green was doing the cooking segment thing last week, whatever, which is pretty cool. So. you know, you got to give Mike his airtime, right?
I think he
deserves all the airtime. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, getting personality. So if anybody's interested in that sort of thing, you know, reach out to us. I mean, you know, if you ever wanted to try to be on a SportsCenter type show, this is the place to do it.
All right, absolutely. If you want to learn anything, this is the place to do it, from broadcast.
Oh, yeah, if you want to learn anything, it's the place to do it.
Yeah, it's a good place to be. Yeah. Now, do you think that maybe the viewership could be caused by as content creators, us not using that at every one ping to allow everybody to know? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame that it went that route, obviously, yeah. You know, and then you're not able to ping. And I get both sides of the argument, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, I think it does hurt a little bit. And part of it, too, as I explained it to these guys as well, is we need to be better at promoting it out, you know, even on like a Monday or Tuesday, you know. So, you know, like myself, like today, I'm going to try to, you know, be in Gen Chat and trying to bring it up about, you know, oh, I saw this highlight of this, or I saw this highlight of that, and really try to work that and try to get people interested in the show. But, you know, the league could probably ping that, I would imagine. So maybe that's the way they can do it. I don't know. But yes, I do believe that losing the everyone ping does hurt the content creators. I told that to Tyler the other night. It does. And
I get it. I mean, my thing was, if you didn't want to be bothered by it, just turn off the notifications like I did.
That's exactly the same way I have it too. But hey, you know, it is what it is.
It is. Now, I do have a suggestion that I'm going to make to Cam, because in another league that I'm in, they're using the event calendar that comes with Discord. So
Yes.
And then that way, just have everybody scheduled for that day, maybe do a ping, hey guys, check for league content throughout the day, things like that. I think that'll help. But we'll get to that.
That's actually not a bad idea. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what league that was I was in that did that. But they did the same thing, and that was the easy way to do it.
Exactly. So a couple fun questions for you before we get started with the hot seat questions. All right. What is a sport that is considered a sport that shouldn't be? Now, for me, it's curling. I don't understand the professional ice sweeping thing, you know. I don't understand.
I'll tell you what, they have some amazing broom skills.
That's right. Get everything in the house clean.
I don't get it either. I mean, I feel like I can go out here. I mean, it's getting ready to start ice and snow here in Indianapolis. I know we're supposed to get like 8 to 12 inches of snow, but there might be some ice along with it. I may just get something and I may just push it gently down the country road here and just start seeing how far I can get it with the broom. I always thought rugby was kind of an odd sport. And I get it. And especially, you know, being on a team from across the pond, probably not the best thing to say. Liam might get mad, but I don't know how much he feels about rugby. I know he loves soccer. All they do is just get inside a scrum and just like roll around, you know, back and forth. And then eventually they pop out and then they start running in the oven. I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, okay, what's the point of the scrum? Just play, damn it. Like
I'm not going to be out there without no pads. I don't understand.
I don't get that either. I mean, they're tough dudes. I'll give them that. You know? It's just, I'm like, why? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Indeed. And should esports be considered a sport in itself?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, because when you're looking at like us, I mean, you know, you obviously got coaches that come in a game plan and you know, this and that. I mean, we don't control, obviously, we're not using it or nothing, but, you know, the mind games and the game planning and everything that goes on behind the scenes, I definitely consider esports being a real sport. I mean, it has to be, right? Even the ones that aren't controller. I mean, them guys, if you ever watch those tournaments and stuff, they go absolutely nuts.
And
I remember as a kid, I mean, I did like Mortal Kombat tournaments and stuff and all that. They're so competitive. Everybody even just in the small time ordeals like that, it's always so competitive. And then when you watch it like on Twitch and stuff, when they have their big tournaments, I mean, it's just, it's a sport. It's obviously a sport.
Yeah, especially the emotions that it invokes. Like, I literally feel I'm out there playing on the field, you know?
Yeah.
And when you hear your name called, you have that investment that you made, you know, and then you see yourself out there either being effective or not. You know, but either way, it's a fun time. So I agree.
I mean, if pole vaulting is a sport, why not? Right? I mean, all you're doing is running and trying to bend the pole as far as you can to launch yourself 10 feet in the air to go over a bar. Like, I don't get it. Right? And I will always defend cheerleading as a sport. I will always do that.
You wait. Okay, that's going to be a whole nother issue. I bet it is.
It is. My sister was a cheerleader, and watching them do all their stuff. My daughter was a cheerleader for a couple of years, and yeah, I'm like, no, I couldn't do any of that stuff. Like all the stuff they got to do, flips and everything else. Like, yeah, that's athletic.
Didn't trust people to catch you when you fall. Oh, no, see.
Yeah, exactly.
You might be having an off day. I can't.
I could do a really good Ninja Turtle cartwheel. But that's about it.
Hey,
that's about something. It's something, right? Or I could just roll on the ground. That's fine. I can play possum. That's
there you go. You're nuts. All right. Now, chat, before I let you go, you have officially entered the hot seat realm. Okay. So, just going to be throwing a few questions at you. You better be.
It is.
All
right. What's up?
So, it's going to be a whole bunch of rapid fire questions that I would like for you to answer as quickly as possible. You to think about it. I'm kind of interested to see what your first thoughts would be on some of these, okay?
Okay.
Most effective player in London on London's defense right now.
Oh, God. You really are. Gosh, I would probably say, man, that's tough. That's tough. I'd probably say Tanner. Probably Tanner Hendricks. Jack and Russell would be really close right there, but Jack and Tanner.
Jack and Tanner, gotcha. Most effective player on offense for London.
I mean, it's got to start with the quarterback, right? You know, Johnny Pickler, it's got to start with him. If he's effective, then the whole team's effective. So that's where I got to start with that.
Okay, gotcha. Which team besides your team needs work on both offense and defense?
Ha-ha, you sneaky, sneaky woman. who needs most work on offense and defense?
And defense.
I would probably say Sioux Falls. That's off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't know. Their team is just different than what, I mean, I don't know. That's all I can say.
Now, a little disclaimer, guys. This is just opinions.
This is just opinions. I don't even know the questions.
There you go.
I don't even know the questions.
Okay, who will throw the most interceptions for week four?
Who will throw the most interceptions for week four?
Who will?
I would say you, but I'm not mean. I will probably say... I gotta remember who's on a bye week, though.
I think Baltimore is on a bye week, and I think you guys, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so probably, God, no offense to Sully. I'm going to go with Sully.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go with Sully.
Team most likely to put up 40 points this week or more?
Team most likely to put up 40. Vancouver.
Okay. Team that's going to put up less than 10.
Jeez. God, I got to see the matchup, so. I don't know. That's a matchup-based thing for me.
Okay.
I should have been prepared for this.
You didn't know.
let me see here. Let's see. Because I got to look at matchups. This is how this is. man. And if simulationfl.net will load faster, we'll get there. that is not a knock on you, Liam, at all. Let's see.
Let's see if I can pull something up for
you. Yeah, I mean, I got it. I got it right here.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Either Sioux Falls or Queen City.
Okay. An SFL team.
I think Queen City more. They've been struggling a little bit. I mean, they're playing Fort Worth, but
yeah,
they haven't looked great.
That's a good point.
Why. I don't know why either. So I'll go Queen City. That'd be my final answer. Queen City.
Queen City? Got it. Team that you feel that may be a little overrated?
Overrated.
Mm-hmm.
God, I would say DC, but they've looked good.
Okay.
They've looked good. I can't say DC. Probably, man, who is overrated? I mean, if you're going off of NETMA, I'd probably say us, just because we're 0-3 and somehow we're 10. I mean, I'm just being honest, right? I'll be honest. You know what? I'm just going to say us.
Okay.
I'm going to say us because, you know, I mean, right now, I mean, I still think we're a damn good team, but I think right now, if people are putting us still in the top 10 with an 0-3 record, they need to rechange that.
Got it. Which team is underrated in your opinion?
Underrated. You know what? I'm gonna go Tulsa.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm gonna go Tulsa. I think last week showed. I mean, it was against. I mean, Louisiana's got a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They've been playing really well. I mean, they're 1-2, but they've played. You know, they've played good defense. I think, and I've always said, I think if they get Douglas Brown figured out and get that, you know, now that they got Douglas Brown over Sanzo, and with what they already got with Gabriel Manning and Corey Jones, and JQ's a good quarterback, I think if their defense can survive and stick up, that's going to be a tough team.
They really have a really good recipe in players.
They've got, I mean, Deion's done it right. You know, him and Berto, I think it's Berto Moore, right? It's GM.
Yes.
So yeah, Burrow and Deion, I think, have done a really good job of that. You know, I think switching out Sanzo with Douglas was probably the best idea they've had in a while. And so combining him along with Gabriel Manning and having that ground, you know, in the air, kind of like that land, air, and sea sandwich now in McDonald's. Have you heard of that thing?
No.
I know I'm changing the subject. Oh my God, they have McDonald's. For some reason, has decided to make, and I want to. This is a hot topic, right? I'm putting you on the hot seat about this. I'm changing the subject, and I'm sorry, but it just hit me. So they call it the land, air, and sea. It is a hamburger, fish, and chicken sandwich all in one.
Why?
That's what I said, but hang on. Land, obviously, because of the cow, right? So that's a hamburger. Sea with the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken is the air. Chickens don't fly. What the hell is that? Chicken does not fly.
Listen, might be a little pigeon in there, honey.
Maybe. Who knows what McDonald's is putting in there, right? It's mystery meat for all we know.
That's a good point, Chad.
I mean, like,
what are you talking about? That's fine.
My daughter yesterday was like, you ever seen this land, air, and sea? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Land, air, and sea. And she told me, and I'm like, chickens don't fly. Anyway, sorry. But yes,
only
if Tulsa. If Tulsa can, if they can do that, they're an underrated team, and I think they could possibly sneak in the playoffs.
Okay. Best quarterback that's not on your team.
God. Best quarterback that's not on my team. Probably, I got to go with Wiggy. You know, I mean, the dude's just automatic. You
know, that's good.
He's good. He's good for 35 TDs guaranteed a year.
There you go.
The way he throws, you know, plus he's got two damn good receivers. But yeah, I gotta go Wiggy.
Best receiver not on your team.
DR
Sanders. I know Mike St. Green's gonna be a little upset about that, but you know. You said DR
Sanders. Well, I mean, not on my team, so I can't say Mike or Ben. So
you know how he is.
Oh, I know. He'll try to say, well, I'm better no matter what, but which is fine. He's earned that right. He's an all-star. But yeah, I got to go Sim, man. I mean, he's been balling for how many damn years? So,
got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Best rivals, I'm sorry, best running back not on your team.
I got to go, man, I'll tell you who's looking good, which is under the radar a little bit, Scott Johnson.
Okay.
I would probably say Kevin Say. I'd probably say Kevin Say.
Mm-hmm. That game they had last week.
Dude, I mean, I've been waiting for him just to start balling out.
And so, he's doing just that. It's awesome.
I know. And now, of course, you know, I get Baltimore, I get DC, Queen City's still a threat in my division. It's just, God, it's awful. And of course, I'm 0-3. So,
there you go, Chad. You can do it, man. You can do it.
I know I can do it, but geez, it's a tough road. It's a tough road.
Absolutely. And final question is, who do you think is going to win the season 18 championship this season?
Man, I mean, I think that when the parade happens in this city, people are going to lose their minds. And then you're going to see the coming down off the mountain, holding hands, as Jason Miller, I think, said, Mike Prococo and Andy Hamilton hand in hand carrying the championship. I think it's Vancouver's year. Okay. I just everything just smells like the year of Andy. So I'm gonna go with Vancouver and Atlanta. And if it's not, it's Atlanta, because Atlanta is just damn good.
All right,
that's what I think faces each other. So and I can see their team winning, but I'm gonna go with Andy.
Fantastic, Chad. This was fun. Do you like the new format?
I do. I like it. You know, you get the rapid fire thing, because I had to think about it. You know, it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I like the new format.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. You know, for taking time beyond and everything like that. And I'm wondering if I can have you back on and maybe talk about a few other esports that you're involved in soon.
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I miss you too, man.
All right.
So I'm sorry about that. That was one of my neighbors.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. But so Chad, thank you so much for being on. Looking forward to seeing you on Crunch Time and seeing what London's gonna do this week for week 4. How you feeling?
I mean, we're on a bye this week, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Week 5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking. You know, this will be the. You know, I played Fort Worth. We played them at the convention last year. They were a tough team then. They're still a tough team. There's no easy games in the SFL, so it's gonna be a challenge. But hopefully to get our first win of the season.
All right. Well, good luck to you, man. And I'll be calling you very soon about that other one, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
See you later. Thank you.
All right. See you.
Keep it right here. All right. And then we're getting ready to go to the close, and then we're good to go. Okay. And action. All right, that's it. I hope that you enjoyed the show. I hope that you enjoyed the little nuances that I put in there to kind of keep things a little bit fresh. That's always that should be a mission for any content creator, especially when you're doing so many shows, like I've done. You want to try to keep people interested and even adding new little things. So if you have any suggestions as to what I should do, if you want to see something else, let me know. But just to give props where it's due, Gene Benazzi actually gave me the idea for the Striker Knights trivia. So shout out to Gene for doing that. He answered the call when I asked people what they wanted to see, and this was it. So thank you so much. Special shout out also goes out to Bo Martin Jr., to Chad Rowland, and of course to my co-host T-Roy Gaines for being on the show. I really appreciate you. Anything you want to say to the people before I let you go?
Hooday.
Of course.
Enjoy the Yeah, enjoy especially it. Joy while I can. Knock on wood. We pull out the upset. Playing against a team that's hosting their own Super Bowl. Oh, God.
Ooh. Hey,
yeah,
you know what?
It's in LA.
The thing is, the underdogs won anyway. So if things are flowing the way it is, you never know. But good luck to y'all. All right. Thank you.
We need it.
You're welcome. And to you, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you for doing that. Remember, everybody, to stay safe. Treat each other well. For Bo, Chad, T-Roy, Striker,